Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. How's everybody doing this morning? You're in worship. How are you doing this morning? Oh, okay. Very good. We are so glad that you are here at College Park. We welcome you, members and guests alike. We'd like to find out who is in worship this morning. The way we do that, there are pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We would like for members and guests to write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, send it down once you're done so that everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We prefer you to put your real name, not necessarily a made-up name or a celebrity name. That does happen. Elvis Presley has shown up in worship a few times. Superman a couple times as well. Wonder Woman, I think, was here one time. But we do prefer your real name. Check the appropriate boxes. Send it back to where it got started. That helps us out. Once it gets back to the first person, if you could rip out the pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Several things that are happening in the life of our church. Just to call your attention to a couple of things. Number one, we are having children's celebration today. That's when all the children, during the second hymn of the service, the children will leave along with the juniors and seniors to go to Smith Hall, and we will have some children's church in there for them. And parents, that's where you can pick up your children at the end of the service. Let's see what else. Oh, Raymond, you have an announcement.
Next Sunday, there will be a lot that will be going on. Our GAs will be doing a Muffins for Mission. They'll be doing that in the 9 o'clock service during the cafe time there. And then they'll be in Smith Hall and want you to be able to participate in that. The money they raise will be, of course, for our missions offering. So we want you to support that. Also, next Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4, we will have a baby shower for the Allens. This is a church-wide baby shower for the Allens. We want you to know about that and prepare for that, and come be prepared to have a good time fellowshipping and celebrating with them. So put that on your calendar next Sunday from 2 to 4.
If you are a Sunday school teacher, an adult Sunday school teacher, if you have thought about being a Sunday school teacher and have just kind of been letting it rumble around in your brain, I invite you next Sunday afternoon to join us for Sunday school training. Now, this is particularly for adult Sunday school. We are going to have children's teachers, Sunday school teachers training later on. But for this is specifically adult Sunday school teachers. We will leave, not really leave. We will go downstairs after morning worship next week. We will eat lunch together. And then we will have training led by Steve Zimmerman. Steve Zimmerman has been minister of education at several churches around the state. You might know him as the Zimmerman twins, the string-playing Zimmerman twins, daddy. And he is going to lead us in some training next week. We will, like I said, we will eat. We will start training a little bit before 1. We will be done somewhere between 2:30 and 3 so that you get a chance to be at the baby shower. So do not worry. It will not interfere. You can do both. I do need you, if you are interested, to let me know that you are coming so I can make plans for lunch. And I need that in the next day or two so I can plan. But if you would please let me know. If you would please plan on coming, I'm really excited, and I'm excited about what he's got to say and what it's going to do for us in terms of our teaching and our honoring God with our gifts.
A couple other announcements. You'll find most of these listed inside the bulletin under upcoming events, as well as opportunities for the week. One thing I do want to draw your attention to, we are having our church basketball banquet for all of our Hoops for Him teams and our primary team. That banquet will be this Tuesday evening from 6 until 7:30. Now, there may be some snow concerns. We will make notice on our website and through WXII if any changes take place. And if we need to reschedule it, we'll make notice on there. Our plan is if we don't have it, we'll shoot for Thursday. And if we don't have it, either day we'll make something up. So want you to know those plans. We are trying to make plans just in case we have weather concerns. But the plan is for this Tuesday at 6 o'clock for our basketball banquet for all of our players, our coaches, and our parents. Let's see. Next Sunday, our college mission team will be headed to Charleston, South Carolina, working with Jimmy Creech down there doing some construction work. This is our annual trip, mission trip during their spring break. This is a great time together. One of the best things we get to do is eat. And you have provided us over the last several years snack food items to carry with us. If you're able to provide those again, we would appreciate any gifts of snack food, homemade desserts. Raymond, you got a certain thing you're looking for?
Pound cake.
Pound cake. Anybody else? Pound cake's good. That would help us as because college students get hungry, and so do their leaders. So we appreciate any if you could bring those next Sunday. Next Sunday's a full day. So that college mission trip will be next Sunday. Reminder to our youth parents, we are having a youth parent meeting tonight. It'll start in with the youth worship time from 6 to 6:45. When the youth go to their small groups, the parents, we will stay in Smith Hall and have a discussion about some things that are coming up in our youth ministry. Other things you'll see listed there, pictorial directory, muffins for mission, Baptist men, many things that are happening. Any other announcements? We good? This is a great place for us to be today. We're very especially grateful that we're especially grateful. Let me get that out right. That our guests are here today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You've given us your information if you're a guest. You've put your information down on the pew pad just a few moments ago. The ushers are coming down the aisles. They'd like to give something to you. So if you would just raise your hand if you're a guest this morning, and our ushers will hand you a packet. This welcome packet tells you a little bit about the story of College Park. There's a letter from our pastor as well as a newsletter that gets you up to date on everything that's happening in our church. So we are very, very blessed by your presence and worship today, and we pray that God would speak to you in a mighty way. Okay, I think that is it. I'm very glad that we are gathered together. There's nothing in the world that looks more like heaven than what we do right now. This is just a glimpse of us worshiping in the presence of God. And I pray that during the next hour that we will do that with everything that we have. Let us prepare for what God wants to do in us and through us this hour of worship.
See the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Alleluia, alleluia, we're going to see the King.
Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. And very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
No more dying there, we are going to see.
Let's pray together. Father, those are good words for us to be reminded of this morning. One day, soon and very soon, we are going to see our King, our Lord, our Savior face to face. For that, we are thankful. It is our prayer that during this time of worship, you would come into this place and give us just a glimpse of your glory. If you revealed all of yourself to us, we could not stand it. So just give us a glimpse. Let us see you for who you are and for what you want to do in us and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. As we have been recognizing that we are in the season of Lent, the journey towards the cross, and ultimately the resurrection of Christ, this is a time of confession, a time of thinking about our mistakes, our sins, and asking God, confessing our sins and asking for His forgiveness. And we come to that portion of our worship service for us to pause and to consider Scripture, to pray silently, to hear a corporate prayer, and then to continue into worship. So I'm going to have a Scripture for us to consider, and we will pause for private prayer. Sienna Divine will come and have our prayer of confession, and then we will hear the assurance of pardon. Listen to these words from Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Let us pray silently together.
Let us pray. God, we make so many mistakes. We turn away from you so often. We forget your promises. We need you so much. Thank you that you love the world, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins. Amen.
As we pause to consider our sins, those things that separate us from God, it is important for us to ask specific. God, I know I made this mistake against you and against others, and I am sorry. But God assures us of forgiveness, assures us of pardon, for that is what Christ did on the cross. Hear these words from Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Amen.
For those of you that don't know, I'm not Gary Elkins. Wish I were, but I'm not. Gary's, I don't know if he had too much celebration after the win yesterday that the boys had in basketball. They won their division, and we're glad of that, guys. Way to go. Or Catawba lost. I don't know which it is, but I'd like y'all to remember Gary in his prayers. He woke up very, very ill this morning, so there's a lot of stuff going around, and I think Gary has it. So let's just remember him in our prayers. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and fellowship with you this morning. It's been a wonderful morning here at College Park, and just gets better every day. We just thank you for the leadership that we have here. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the music. We thank you for our children's ministry, Lord. You've just blessed us in so many ways. It's just a wonderful place to be with friends that love to fellowship and love to fellowship with you. And Lord, we pray as we learn in fellowship here that we'll take it out into the world, that we'll show the love that you have through our actions with others. As we come today, Lord, we come today and we open our hearts and minds to return a portion of what you've so richly blessed us with and give it back to you, because it all belongs to you anyway. We do these things in your Son's name. Amen.
I've always heard there is a land beyond the mortal dreams of man,
where every tear will be left behind, but it must be in another time.
Oh, shining a purest holy white,
and every fear will be erased, but it must be in another place.
Oh, 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 oh. So
another time,
another place. Oh.
So our hearts yearn for another time, another place, and we've got the last verse of Amazing Grace memorized, don't we? You notice that? No matter where you are, when you get to the last verse, people put their head back and they just sang. Sing that last verse. We've been there 10,000 years. Everybody knows it. They love to sing it. And why is that? It's because we look forward to something better. And as you consider life circumstances, you think there's got to be something better. Doesn't it? You know, if God truly loves us, I know he sent his son, but there's got to be something better than this. And it's not that this is bad. It's not that this is bad. But the God that created us for perfect fellowship with him in paradise. You see, and I don't know, this is not, I didn't plan on saying this, but I got to say this. People think that God did something cruel when he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. But he did them a favor. He did them a glorious favor. Can you imagine what would have happened once they had sinned if they had stayed in the Garden of Eden and eaten from the tree of life? They would have lived for eternity in sin. Have you ever considered that? But by casting them out of that, he allowed them the gift, eventually, of physical death, so that then, in fact, they could be delivered from sin. Consider that as you begin to dread and think about fear, death. There's nothing there to fear. But so many times, we live in that. You know, I've done over 75 funerals since becoming your senior pastor. We quit counting. Joan and I quit counting at 75. It started getting a little depressing. So we quit counting. And in all 75 plus, what the families want to know is that their loved one is better off, right? That's what we want to know. If they're a believer, they've gone to another time, another place, something that's much better that's awaiting for them. But there's this sense of not knowing exactly what that is, what that looks like. So therefore, we kind of fear it. We dread the unknown. We fear the unknown, every unknown. But have you ever considered by doing that, we're sending the message to people that we are the only glimpse of God that they get. We're sending the message to them that there's no joy in the Christian life because we live in fear. And if that's true, then Jesus may as well still be in the grave. But he's not. He's not in the grave. So how do we live out a life that reflects this reality that Jesus is no longer in the grave and that we have nothing to fear in physical death? How do we live that out? Well, first of all, I think we need to come to an understanding of the significance of this life and how it's preparing us for eternity. And when we have a better understanding of what's waiting for us, then I think the fear of death will disappear. So this morning, let's learn together. Why are we afraid of death? Well, the old saying is, we long to die without fright or a fight. Okay, and it's kind of a humorous saying if you think about it, but what is saying, this much is kind of reinforced by all the top-selling books that deal with death and dying and what happens, and I mentioned a couple of those in my newsletter article this week, but I want to show them to you so you can get a visual, and there's several out. One that's very popular, it's a New York Times bestseller, is called 90 Minutes in Heaven. It's written by Don Piper about his personal experience. I know some of you have read this. You've made comments about it. We're trying to find, and this is basically a testimonial. It's a testimonial of his life experience. I didn't know if you were aware, but there's actually, that's 90 Minutes in Heaven. There's also 23 Minutes in Hell. It's also New York Times bestseller, as you can well imagine. But it's an interesting read as well. It's personal experience, dream type thing that this fellow had that is very sobering and will help us as we minister to people who live in fear and give them an opportunity to experience hope. So it is a good read in that regard. One that I highly recommend is Erwin Lutzer's book, 1 Minute After You Die. It's a preview of heaven. It's scripturally based. It's well done, and I recommend that one. Also, a book by Judson Cornwall says, the title of it is Things That You Don't Know About Heaven. This is a very scripturally based book as well, kind of takes you through and helps you sort through some of the things and what scripture has to say about heaven. And another book by Randy Alcorn entitled Simply Heaven. They're good books. They're no substitute for the book, but sometimes it helps us organize our thoughts and know where to find certain places, passages in Scripture that we may have heard of. All of these things deal with the fascination of what happens beyond the grave. But you know, Jesus told us really all the information we need. And this is in, for those of you that are going through the small group study, Max uses this scripture passage, but it's timeless. It really is. As Jesus is preparing his followers, they're anxious. He's trying to calm their nerves, and he wants them to know. He doesn't want them to live in ignorance. So he tells them in John 14, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. Don't fear. No anxiety. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I would have told you if it weren't true. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place, I'll come back and get you. So that where I am, you can be also. Straight from the mouth of Jesus, and truth be known, that really ought to settle the matter. Jesus said there are many rooms in his Father's house. Now, I'm going to pause there for a minute because the word house is fascinating to me. Because I happen to know that in Scripture, in referring to heaven, there's several terms that are used. House is the most common one. Did you know that? Why do you think that is? Maybe because it's something we're familiar with. God wanted us to be comfortable, wanted us to have comfort in knowing what's being prepared for us. Other terms that are used for heaven are tabernacle, sanctuary, temple, throne, glory. All of these are used to talk about heaven. And I think the reason that they use kind of concrete terms that the people understood, the people they were writing to understood, the reason they use those terms is because they wanted us to understand that heaven is a real place with real purpose. It's not an ambiguous, nebulous existence out there. It is a real place with a real purpose that's waiting for us. They wanted us to know that. But understand the context that Jesus spoke these words into is not the same context as we understand. He was speaking into a Greco-Roman world. And a little background there. Aristotle, we have all heard of Aristotle. Well, the mindset was, and he vocalized it. Aristotle said that death is the thing to be feared most because, quote, it appears to be the end of everything. So it's little wonder that there was anxiety about physical death. And even traditional Judaism was kind of divided on the topic. If you look in Acts chapter 23, verse 8, it says, for Sadducees say there's no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but Pharisees confess both. So Sadducees taught that death was kind of a one-way street to Sheol. Do not stop, do not pass, go, do not collect 200. I mean, just straight there. No hope, darkness, no hope. And the Pharisees envisioned a resurrection, but it was spiritual in nature, not physical. So it was really undefined for physical beings trying to understand what the life after this physical existence was all about. Ecclesiastes 9:5 says, the living know they will die, but the dead know nothing. And into this environment comes Jesus with some pretty amazing promises. He walks into this world and says he's going to be resurrected from the dead and that he's going to go prepare a place for us in his Father's house. Understand what he was saying, much like everything he said and did, was extremely radical. It went against everything that people were understanding. He said that he would rise from the dead and he would deliver his followers from the grave also. And by using the wording of preparing a place in his Father's house, Jesus was sending a very clear message about the nature of the relationship that he desires with us. Here's why I say that. To quote from Lucado's book, because he puts it concisely and preachers get wordy. So I'm going to quote him. He says, we Westerners miss the wedding image in this passage. But you can bet your sweet chupa, I probably shouldn't have quoted that part. But you can bet your sweet chupa that Jesus' listeners did not. This was a groom-to-bride promise. You hear that? A groom-to-bride promise. Upon receiving the permission of both families, the groom returned to the home of his father and built a home for his bride. He prepared a place for his bride. And by promising to do the same for us, Jesus elevates, hear this, Jesus elevates funerals to the same hope level as weddings. Wow. And because of this new hope, we can live life without fear of what is to come. I love the image. If you've seen the stand-up figure we have out there that says fearless on it, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the picture on it, the picture we use in the 9 o'clock service on the slides, is this little boy, and he's in his snorkeling gear, and he has already leapt off the end. Leaped off the end of the dock. And he's in midair, spread eagle. And you know what's going to happen next. He's hitting the water. He's going to hit the lake. But it is a beautiful image of complete trust and abandon in what he believes. No doubt this child probably has done this before. And he knows when he hits the water, he's going to splash and then he's going to have a wonderful time. It looks like complete abandon, but yet there's a level of belief and trust that's involved in it. And I wish for us, knowing what we believe, that we could spread eagle into life. That we could approach life with just complete abandon and trust that God loves us so much that He's going to take care of us. That God loves us so much that He has a place prepared for us. And it's better and bigger and more beautiful than anything we can ever imagine. Why can't we do that? Understand that the Hebrew word for heaven is neither singular nor plural. You go, heaven? What's left? It's dual. An interesting feature of Hebrew language. It's dual. And I believe that part of the reason for that maybe is a message that we can experience spiritual aspects of heaven here without violating the clear statement from Scripture that heaven is concrete, that it's real, it's solid, it's substantive. I think we can experience a little glimpse of that here. And more of it, much more of it, at a later time. Dual. So we walk in the Spirit here and now, doing the things that Jesus taught us so that we can realize some of these aspects and that we can show other people some of these aspects of what it means to live in Christ, to live in the Spirit, to be excited, anticipating what is to come, but also be excited, anticipating what God's going to do in our life every single day. That kind of excitement. But you see, all of that hinges on one thing. One thing. And it hinges on the fact of, did Jesus really pull it off? Did Jesus pull it off? Can we trust that he was who he said he was? And if he said, I'm going to be raised and I'm going to go prepare a place and I'm going to come back and get you. See, the first part of that sequence is that he was raised. And if he didn't pull that off, then how can he pull off victory over death for us? So do we trust who Jesus was? Paul defends it. Paul's a wonderful defender of the faith. If you've never read his letters, you need to do it. Paul just inspiring in his writing because he gives it to us in order. He thought in order. He was a Pharisee. He wrote things in an orderly fashion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, there is an order to the resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Now again, understand, much like Jesus was speaking into the Greco-Roman world, Paul was writing to a church that was in the Greek world. It was in Corinth. They had been schooled all of their life, the mindset that death was a kind of a shadowy afterlife at best and nothingness at worst. So into this environment, he spells it out for again. He said, I'm going to tell you one more. Preachers do that a lot. They repeat themselves. I'm going to tell you one more time. And here's the deal. He says, let me go over the message with you one final time. Then he does it. Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. He presented himself alive to Peter, his closest followers, more than 500 of his followers, to James, the rest of those he commissioned, and finally, to me. Paul outlines it. In classic Greek logical rebuttal fashion, he stands against those who claim that resurrection of the body was impossible. And he says, if one person claimed a post-resurrection encounter with Jesus, well, you know, maybe you could discount it. Especially if you were a skeptical person. If a dozen people offered dispositions about it, then maybe you could chalk it up to mob hysteria. Maybe. But Paul says, but 50 people? But 100 people? But 300 people? Paul knew hundreds of people who had seen Jesus personally, physically, including himself, following Jesus' resurrection. So disbelief turned to belief when they saw Jesus and they ate with him and they touched him. During one of his post-resurrection appearances, Jesus told his followers, he said, I am not a ghost. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. A physical resurrection. Jesus experienced a physical and a factual resurrection. And because he did, his promise of the same for us rings true. Did you get that? Because he did, he has the same for us. So let's die with faith. You say, well, that sounds a little bit morbid. But here's what I mean by that. Redefine the way that you look at the grave. Allow the truth of Jesus' resurrection to sink in. Allow the truth of Jesus' promises to go and prepare a place for us and to come back and take us to where he is. Allow that to sink in. Allow the truth that God has a place for us in heaven that surpasses our wildest dreams. Allow that to sink in. And then live like you truly believe all of it. If you will do that, it will change the way you think. It will change the way you talk. It will change the way you act dramatically. Hebrews 2, verse 15. Free those who were like slaves all of their life because of their fear of death. Free those who were like slaves all of their lives because of their fear of death. We can be free. We can be free from that fear. We can be free one day of all the pain and suffering and all of that. But for today, remember that those who the Son sets free are free indeed. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Father, because of his resurrection and his appearances to those who could give testimony to that following his resurrection, that we have hope. We know, we trust his promises. And Father, help us to live like it. Help us not to live lives that are captivated by fear. Help us to live lives that are truly free because we know that he has set us free. And we are thankful. We are thankful beyond what words can express for the freedom that we have in Christ and the promises that we have through him. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're missing out. Not only here and now, but in eternity. And we want you to know what that means. In just a minute, we're going to sing. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ and lead you in a prayer that will invite Jesus into your heart. I want that for you. I believe every believer here would say the same with me. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm one of the ones you're talking to, Raymond. Well, it's not me talking, it's God, so listen. You know, if you're living a life that's captivated by fear, God wants you to be free from that. He wants you to be free from that, free from death, fear of death and all other fears. And you can settle that with him this morning. You can certainly pray where you are. You're welcome to come here. I think we may have prayer warriors that will be coming. So the altar is open. Feel free. I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like to speak with me about that. If you're here this morning and you say, I'd really like to be a part of this group. The choir's good looking. I'd like to go sing in the choir. Amen, they said. Whatever place you would like to be in service here, if you would like to be a member at College Park, we would invite you. There's many ways we receive members, and we're glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Come on up. This is Sabrina Liang. She is coming this morning as a candidate for baptism. She would like to be a member of College Park Baptist Church, but more importantly, she wants to publicly profess Christ and follow his example through baptism. If you rejoice with her and will support her and encourage her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, fantastic. We'll be talking with her in days to come, and we'll have baptism before too much longer, and we'll rejoice together with her. I want to invite you at the conclusion of the service to come by and greet her. Offer a word of encouragement to her, a hug and handshake, and welcome her to College Park, as I know you will. Would you stand with me now for our benediction? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we praise you for who you are. Father, we praise you as the giver of life and the giver of life eternal. Father, we look forward. We look forward with anticipation to see what you're going to do through us in the days to come. Father, we pray for your strength and your courage and your guidance as we leave this place and live for you. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.